Daf Yud Aleph. We bring numerous theorists against Rabbi Yehuda, who were able to show that you are allowed to work with items even during the Zman HaYisr, and we're not chayshes that a person will come to eat these items. For example, Kamach Chadash Litnei Karban Omer. We know that the Karban Omer on the second day of Pesach transfers all Chadash to Yashan and makes those items mutter to eat. But even if you work with Kamach Chadash before that, we're not afraid, like Rabbi Yehuda says, Baratzen Chacham Masu. So you see, you were allowed to work with it. But the Gemara, people normally eat chametz all year. That's why we're so chayshish about chametz. Chadash we're not worried about, because people will be careful. Chadash is not something which is a problem all year. So people are more careful with it than they are with chametz, which is food that they eat all the time. The Gemara also discusses cases of kesher. We know that if a person makes a kesher shel kayama, he's chayav achatas if he does this on Shabbos. And the Gemara mentions adam bahul al mamayne, that a person is very careful with his money and panics if something goes wrong with the money that he owns. We then have a Mishnah that discusses exactly when midrabanan we stop eating chametz on Erev Pesach. We know midaraisa, chametz is only asr ba'achila and bahana after chatzais. But the Rabbanan were afraid, since there were no watches in those days, that people may come to make a mistake in calculating the zman of chatzais. So they created a safety zone. Incidentally, the hours that we discuss here in the Mishnah, as we typically do in Shas, are shaos zmanios. This is where we divide a day into 12. So sometimes, at that particular point of year, it's almost exactly an hour anyway. But for example, during the summer, one of the shaos manios will be longer than 60 minutes. And during the winter, shaos manios will be less than 60 minutes. But since Pesach usually falls in April, at that time of the year, the hours are about 60 minutes anyway. So you bring down three sheetahs here in the Mishnah. Rameir says, Eichlin kol chamesh v'sarfin b'tchila sheish. You could eat it for 5 full hours, and then you burn the chametz at the beginning of the 6th hour. Rabbi Yehuda says, Eichlin kol arba, you could eat it for 4 full hours. V'talin kol chamesh, you hold on to it then during the 5th hour, v'sarfin b'tchila sheish. And then we have the sheetah of Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel says, Chulin ne'achalin kol arba. Chulin, you could only eat for 4 hours. V'truma kol chamesh, but truma you're allowed to eat for 5 hours, as Rashi explains, because it's osur lahafzid kachim liyadayim. Because by not eating it, you're being matzit kachim in a very active way. But he says you do burn everything at the beginning of the 6th hour. We actually paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, bein b'chulin, bein b'truma, that each of those you eat for 4 full hours, v'talin kol chamesh, v'sarfin b'tchilas sheish. Actually, today we burn it during the 5th hour. We then bring down the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Dalet. Two people who came to Bezdin to testify on something regarding, for example, capital punishment. Bezdin is baidik, both of them, separately for consistency. This is from the pasuk of Vidarashta Vichakarta. And here we have a number of questions where we have to determine whether, if two people are a little bit different in their edus, whether the edus is good or whether the edus is not good. Echad omer b'shnayim b'chaydish v'yachad b'shleisha. If one person says the maisa that they saw happened on the second day of the month, and one person says the third day of the month, edusam kayemis, the edus is considered good, because it's possible one of them didn't know exactly when Rosh Chodesh was. And since one of them may have not found out which day Rosh Chodesh was, it's possible that they could be one day off. Echad b'shleisha v'echad b'chamish, edusim b'tela, because it's 2 days off. It's impossible that they made that kind of a mistake. Echad b'shteishos, one person says the second hour, in other words, 8 a.m. The echad b'shalish, one person says 9 a.m. Edusim kayamis, because they could be an hour or two off. Echad shalish v'echad b'chamish. Let's say one person says 9 o'clock, one person says in the 11th, and the one person says in the 3rd hour, one person says in the 5th hour. Remeir b'tela. Remeir says no good. Rabbi Yehuda says kayamis. Why is that? It is good. Because people make mistakes over time. And there's an afkamina in terms of how much time people can make mistakes in terms of what hour it was. Echad chamish v'echad sheva. One person says before the noon hour, in other words, in the 5th hour. One person says after the noon hour, in other words, in the 7th hour. But Taylor, then it's butl according to everybody. Why is that? Because it's impossible to make that kind of a mistake. In the 5th hour in the morning, the sun is definitely on the east side of the sky. And in the afternoon, by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, in that hour, the sun is definitely on the west side of the sky. That kind of mistake you couldn't make. So if the two people come with those two different times, it's considered batel, and the edus is considered betela. Daf Yud Beis. Rava Eimer, L'divrei Remeir, Adam Toya Shtei Shos Chaser Mashu. According to these sheetahs that we just brought down, according to Remeir, a person can make an hour, a mistake up to 2 hours minus a minute. L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Adam Toya Shalosh Chaser Mashu. A person can make a mistake that's up to almost 3 hours long. We then bring down, there are 7 chakiras that we ask Adam to see if the two of them match. What are the 7? Be'ezah Shavua, Shana, Chaydish, Kama B'chaydish, which day of the month? And as we asked them about which year of Shemitah it was, which year it was, which week it was, which Chaydish it was, what month in the Chaydish. Then we ask him, Yaim, which day of the week it was, Shah, what time of day it was, and Makam, the place that it happened. And we also asked them not only chakiras, we asked them bedikas. Bedikas are, for example, types of questions like what were the color of the victim's clothing. So we say, ma ben chakiras lebedikas. What's the difference between a chakira and a bedika? Chakira is achar eme en yadea. If one person says in a chakira, I don't know, edus in betela, it's considered completely edus batel. So these edim are considered pasul. Why is this so? If the reason it's considered pasul is because now the lack of one of the two answers makes this edus she'iata yochol lahazima. We know that there's a special mitzvah in the Torah, there's a special inyan in the Torah to create a situation by edim that they have to have a fear of potentially becoming zaymimin. How do they become zaymimin? If other people come along and say, you couldn't have known, you couldn't have seen this happening because you were with us. You were with us at that time. Now, if one of these edim do not know, for example, what day of the week it was, that creates a situation where it's iyata yachal azima, and they cannot become edim zayimim anymore. Therefore, it's mevatel all the edus. But bedikas, afilu shneha maimrim layedim, edusin miskayamis. But by bedikas, even if both of them say they don't know the answer to that question, it's considered miskayim. The Gemara then asked, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why don't we force a person to stop chametz 3 hours before chatzayis? Since he says people can err up to 3 hours, so let them stop that early. So we answer, but the rice is only from chatzayis. Therefore, all this whole thing is only gzera anyway. That far we were in Kaiser. So then we ask, so then why not let him eat till chatzayis? So we answer, we know that Rabbi Yehuda holds a person knows the difference between before and after chatzayis. It's the sun is on different sides of the sky. Abaya says that the difference between the different types of edus, since people, when it comes to edus, people are very, very careful because it's a life and death kind of a situation. But chametz is for the general public. Chametz everybody eats all the time. Therefore, it's more likely for people to make a mistake. And Rava says the reason we don't let a person go all the way out to chatzayis is gzera mishum yom ha'ma'unin. We're afraid it's going to be a cloudy day. People are not going to be able to see whether the sun is up there or not. Therefore, we're chayshish for that. Therefore, we say we have to allow a special period to make sure that people don't make that kind of a mistake. Daf Yud Gimel. Arba asar shachal liyais b'Shabbos. If the 14th day comes out on Shabbos, what we do is we burn all the chametz before Shabbos. We say you hold onto shtei sudas. So you can have one of the sudas Friday night, and one of the sudas you could eat before the fourth hour of a day. Now the question is, what about shalosh sudas? We know that a person is mechuyev to eat shalosh sudas. So what does he do? If we're saying we're only allowed to have enough for two sudas, what does he do? So we have a number of different shitas here. The Torah brings down, but since the meal, Shabbos meal, this shalosh sudas that we're talking about is eaten after mincha, a person can be mekayim this by eating fruit. Rabbeinu Tam says, a person can be mekayim it by eating matzah shira. The Chaber says that if a person eats matzah made with fruit juice, in other words, matzah shira, he has to do this before the 10th hour. The Ramah says that a person can eat this shalosh sudas with fruit, meat, or fish. The Magen Avraham brings down the best dates. He says that one can fulfill this third meal by dividing the second meal into two parts. In other words, he eats a little bit, then he makes a birkas hamazon, then he washes again for the second meal. And the Mishnah Berurah points out that when a person actually does this, he has to be very careful to separate these two components, these two parts of the meals, by waiting a little bit of time between the two meals, so he won't potentially come to be over a bracha she'ena tzricha. We bring that an interesting zayar in Parashas Emor, that says that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai used to study Maisa HaMerkava in place of shalosh sudas. Given his knowledge and his chashivas, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was able to accomplish, through his learning, he would understand exactly what the shalosh sudas was, and through the learning, he was able to be mekayim the mitzvah of shalosh sudas. This is probably where the minig today came from, that certain people, instead of eating by shalosh sudas, they learn by shalosh sudas. That's probably where this minig came from the zayar, legabi Reb Shimon bar Yochai. We then say, kvar muftach lahem li Yisrael she'en el Yahu ba bi'erbe shabbasis ube'erb yantiv neha terech. We know that Eliyahu Anabi cannot come on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yantiv because of Tircha. And then we say, Reb Chanina says, because Karban Toidas contain Chametz, they are not brought on Erev Pesach. But many of them are brought on the 13th of the month of Nisan. That's why many of them become Pasul. And in fact, this is interesting why we don't say Mizmor Lasod on Erev Pesach, because the Karban Toida was not brought on Erev Pesach. Daf Yud Dalet. Here we begin the sugya of Reb Chanina Sgan HaKaihanim. Since these next few blot discuss many halachas of Tumah and Tahara, it is appropriate at this point to give a brief hakdama to the basic yisoidus of Tumah v'Tahara. We know that the worst type of Tumah is Tumas mes, is a mess, is a person who's dead. That is called an avi avois ha-Tumah. If a person or a keli touches a mess, that person or a keli becomes an av ha-Tumah. Additionally, there are other things which are automatically considered an avatuma. These include a dead sheretz, a nevela, a zav, zava, nida, or mitzera. These are each called an av hatuma. If something touches an av hatuma, it becomes a rishon latuma. If something touches a rishon latuma, it becomes a shein latuma, and so on. If something touches a shein latuma, it becomes a shlish latuma. And if something touches a shlish latuma, it becomes a ravi latuma. So a ravi latuma is as far as it goes. However, not everything can go as far as a ravi latuma. Adam v'kelim can only be avi avais hatuma, av hatuma, a rishon latuma. These cannot be any lower than a rishon latuma. In other words, midaraisa, adam v'kelim cannot become a shein latuma. Eichlin u'mashkin, which are referred to as chulin, can never be an av hatuma. They begin at rishon latuma, and they can only go from a rishon latuma and become a shein latuma. But they stop there. After shein latuma, they cannot become a shlish or a vi, and they're considered tar. Truma can go as far as a shlishi latuma. Once it becomes a shlishi latuma, it becomes what we call pasul, but it cannot go further than a shlishi latuma. And finally, kachim can go as far as revi'i latuma. If you want a good mnemonic device to remember all these tumas, just remember the word aleph, ches, tof, kuf, ach, tak. What does this refer to? Adam v'kelim, which is the aleph, can only go as far as rishon latuma. Ches, which is referring to chulin, can only go as far as shein latuma. Tuf, which refers to truma, can only go as far as shlishi latuma. And kuf, which refers to kachim, can only go as far as revi'i latuma. This is ach tak. Now, since av hatuma and avi avais hatuma can be mitama adam v'kelim, they are known as a tuma chamura. Alternatively, anything below this, in other words, something which is a rishon or a sheni, those are known as tuma kalas. And a tuma kala is also known as a vlad hatuma, since it's like a child of the avatuma. So you have an avatuma, which is avatuma or avi avais hatuma. Something below that, rishon sheni shlishi, is known as a vlad hatuma. So much for all the general expressions. Now let me point out that there are also some special exceptions to these rules. Number one, before we said that anam v'keli cannot be mekabel tuma from a rishon latuma. In other words, they can only go as far as rishon latuma, but cannot become a sheni latuma. The exception here is a keli, which can be mekabel tuma midirabanan from a mashka. That is a rishon latuma. This is one of the Yud Ches Davar, brought down in Masechet Shabbos Yud Gimel, that the reason that something can be mekabel tuma from a mashka is because of a gzera mishum mashka zava zava. We'll discuss this later on Daf Yud Tes. Second of all, also midirabanan, mashkin which touched any level of lat hatuma, even for example a shlishi latuma, they revert all the way back to a rishon latuma. And finally, a metal keli, which touches a mess, which touches an aviyah vais hatuma, this does not drop a level and become an avatuma, but rather it becomes also an avi avais hatuma. We learn this from the pasuk of Bachalal Cherev. Cherev harehu kecholol. The cherev, which is a sword, which is touching the cholol, which is a dead body, it becomes just like the cholol, and it becomes also an avi avais hatuma. Our Mishnah discusses if we are allowed to burn basar kachim shenitma betuma kala together with basar kachim, which was nitma betuma chamura. We know that there's a pasuk in Parshas Korach, which says, "Vani hine nasati lacha es mishmeres trumaisai." Truma must be washed carefully so it remains tar and does not become tame. So we have in the Mishnah, Reb Chanina Skan HaKaihanim Aimer. Who is the Skan HaKaihanim? What is it that the Skan HaKaihanim did? He did three things. Number one, he was the assistant to the Kayan Gadol. Number two, he backed up the Kayan on Yom Kippur. If the Kayan would become Pasul on Yom Kippur, he would act as the Kayan, sort of like the vice president. And number three, he was the director of all the other Kayanim. So we say, "Mimeim shal kahanim lo nimnu milisrafes habasa shenitma bevlat hatuma im habasa shenitma ba'avatuma afal pisha maisifin tuma al tumase." The kahanim, they didn't hesitate to burn basar shlishi latuma together with basar which was a rishon latuma. So now the shlishi would move up to a sheni latuma and it would become more tame, seemingly, which would be mevatel the mitzvah of mishmeres. But they did this anyways. Not only that, Rabbi Akiva added an even bigger chiddush by a tuvul yain. A tfuyam is someone who was tame, who went to the mikveh that day. Until nightfall, he's considered a sheni latuma. When he touches shemen truma, the shemen becomes a shlishi latuma. Remember, the truma can become a shlishi latuma. The kahanim didn't hesitate to use the shlishi oil together with a wick that touched a metal menorah, which touched a mace. And because of the pasuk of Bachalal Cherev, this menorah now becomes an avi avais hatuma, which means that this wick, which touched this menorah, becomes an av hatuma. So when the shemen joins up with the wick, it goes all the way from a shlish latuma to a rishon latuma. So we see that even though we're maisif and tuma al tumasai, they allowed it anyway. So Reb Chanina's case was a case where a shlish latuma became a shein latuma,
And Rabbi Akiva's case was a case where a shlish l'tumah became a rishon l'tumah, even a bigger kish. Now we continue further on in the Mishnah, and Rameir said, according to Rameir, he brings down, we learn from this, sarfin truma tahirim imatmea the Pesach. In other words, speaking about Erev Pesach, even though a truma of chametz tahira does not become aser ba'achila b'shashishis only midarabanan, still in all, we say it's mutter to burn this together with truma tamea and to be metama this truma tahira. How do we know this? Because we learned this from Chanina Rabbi Akiva, that you could take something and be maisef tuma al tumasai. Just like we saw you can be maisef tuma al tumasai, here we could say we could take something which is tahar and make it tame by burning it together on Erev Pesach together, which is something which is already tame. Amalei Rabbi Yaisi, ein hi amida. No, you can't compare these two. Why not? Because when we talk about maisif tum al tumasai, like the case of Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Akiva, we're only being maisif on something which is already tame. But you can't learn from this that you could take truma tahira and mix it with truma tamea, because you're taking something which is tahar and you're making it tame. How can you compare the two? And actually, we end up paskin like Rabbi Yaisi, that ein sarfin truma tahira im truma tamea on Erev Pesach. Then Rabbi Yaisi is maisif on this, and he speaks about the machlekes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. What are they referring to? Rabbi Yaisi adds on this that even though we paskin that sarfin zula atzma and zula atzma, but on Erev Pesach we do not burn the two together, but rather we burn each two of them separately. So what's the machlekes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua? Rabbi Eliezer says if there's a question on tuluya, which is truma, which we're not sure whether it's tamei or not, in this case Rabbi Eliezer holds even if it is a suffix, you still have to burn them separately, because we paskin like Rabbi Yaisi, where if we are sure, we burn them separately. So even in a case where we're not sure, we still burn them separately. Rabbi Yeshua holds, shteyam kachas. In a case of safek, you could burn both of them together. Why? Since there's a safek, you don't have to be machmer that much on a case of a safek. And the case of mishmeres, you don't have to take on a case of safek. You don't have to extend it all the way to a case of a safek. Therefore, if there's a safek, you could burn them together. You do not have to be machmer.
Now the Gemara. Food that is a rishon l'tuma cannot be metama other oichlin to become a shein l'tuma. Only Mashke can do this. Ein Eichel Metama Eichel. This rule applies only to Chulin, because the Pasuk says Tamei Hu. But by Truma and Kachem, an Eichel can be Metama other Eichlin. In the Rabbanon, we say even by Chulin, Eichel can be Metama other Eichlin. And surely, of course, by Truma and Kachem this applies, because this applies even Midaraisa by Truma and Kachem. We then discuss the case of Rabbi Akiva. The Shaman that was Pasal from the Tful Yom is a Shlishi, and the lamp was a Ner Matechas. So the candelabra becomes an Avatuma, Bachalal Cheref, as we learned before. So the Ner is a Rishon L'tumah, and the Chiddush here is that the Shemen, which is a Shlishi, becomes a Rishon, and we say that it's okay to do this L'chatchila, and elevate the level of Tumah. It's okay to be Maisif Tumah al Tumasai. Taf Tesvav. Umidivrehem Lamanu. According to Rabbi Yaisi, you can't compare the case of Rabbi Chanina to Erev Pesach, since by Rabbi Chanina both were already Tamit, but on Erev Pesach, one was still Tar. We then have a Machlekes at the end of the Mishnah about Mishmeres. Does this apply to Safek Tumah, regarding Truma? Rabbi Eliezer says yes, and Rabbi Yeshua says, since it's halachal ibud, eventually anyways, in other words, after 6 hours, it'll be usher because of chametz midaraisa, so you're allowed to burn them together, and there's no shaila of mishmeres. The Gemara rejects the svara in Rabbi Yeshua, and the Gemara says, because you're ruining it biadayim, therefore you can't necessarily do it that way. We bring a raya from the following case. Hapigul v'hanoyser v'hatamei, Beishamai says, ein nisrafim kachas, uveisiloimim nisrafim kachas. But even according to Beis Hillel, you're only allowed to burn them together if they are already tame. But you can't ruin them biyadayim. In other words, this is like the case of Erev Pesach, where since it's tahar, you're not allowed to do it biyadayim. The maskana of the Gemara is midivrehem according to Rameir, is that since by the sixth hour it'll be hailech l'ibud anyways, so you're allowed to be metame even biyadayim, and burn the truma tahara together with the truma tamea even in the fourth hour. And Rabbi Yosi, who is actually who we paskin like, he will be mitre that after the sixth hour, however, that it's mutter to burn the adayim, and it's okay to burn the tame with the tar, since chametz at that point is asar midaraisa. So basically, it comes out the Gemara paskins that the machlekes between Rabbi Yosi and Rameir is as follows. Rameir holds mashkin kebi mitame eichlin only midarabanan. So therefore, in the sixth hour, we can burn truma tahira together with truma tamea. But according to Rabbi Yosi, which is how we paskin like, mashkin are mitama eichlin actually midaraisa. Therefore, you cannot burn them together in the sixth hour. In Vayikra, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, you have Pasuk that says, V'chol kli cheres asher yipol mehen al toichai kol asher b'saychi yitma, referring to a sheretz, that a kli cheres becomes a rishon l'tuma when a sheretz gets in there, and all inside of it becomes tome. Mikol eichel asher ye'achel asher yavoy alav mayim yitma, any solid food in this keli becomes a sheni l'tuma. V'chol mashke asher yishasa, v'chol kli Yitma. What is this referring to? There's a number of pshatim. Pshat number one. If any mashke in this keli is in it, the mashke becomes tame, but the mashke cannot be metame anything else. This is the shita of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir. Then we have the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. He reads the word yitame, and he used this word to tell you that this mashke can be metame other things also. So we have a raya that mashke can be metame a keli and eichle, even midaraisa. Third pshat is the pshat of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, who learns yitma, that teaches us that midaraisa, a mashke, can be metame eichlin, but it cannot be metame kelim. We then bring down mashkim beis mitpachaya. This is the case of Yossi ben Yezer ish Tzreda. He says that the mayim and the dam, which are on the floor of the slaughterhouse in the beis hamigdash, they were tahar, and they cannot be mekabel tuma. Why is this? Because of hefsid kachin, so we were makel by that. Tafyud Zayin. Hektish can only go as far as Ravi'i Latuma. There is no such a thing as a Chamishi Latuma. The one that says that Kohanim hayo bikiyin betumas meis v'ein bikiyin ein betumas sheretz. We then say midaraisa, you can be tayable small kalim in water from the ground as long as there's at least a Ravi'is. However, we know that a person needs Arbaim Sa in order to be tayable. But midarabonin, you cannot use this kula of Ravi'is at all. Therefore, mayim that is less than a Ravi'is can be mekabel tuma, but more than a Ravi'is cannot. This is since the shear of tuma is dependent on if it can be used for a mikvah or not. And midrabanan, up to 40 sa'ah can be mekabel tuma. This is the shita of Rashi. Tosfos brings a raya from here that a mikvah of mayim she'uvim, which is pasal, is only pasal midrabanan. However, we know the shita of Rashi in Baba Kama Daf Samach Zayin Amid Beis is that a mikvah with mayim she'uvim is pasal midaraisa. Finally, we say if a sheretz touches either the inside or the outside of a kli, it is tome midaraisa, and the whole kli, in fact, becomes tome. But mashkin, which is midarabanan, in this case, there are some differences exactly what it can be metame and what it can't be. Daf Yud Chas. V'nosan olav mayim chayim el keli. This teaches us that we put ashes of the paraduma into water. This mixture now becomes an avatuma. We know this from the pasuk of v'hanegeh v'mehanida yechabes begodav. Now, what happens if a cow drinks this mechatas water, and now the cow dies? So here we have a machlekes. The Tanakhama says the flesh of this dead cow that drank it becomes rishon l'tuma. Rabbi Yehuda says that once the cow drank it, it's like hesach hadas, therefore it's pasal, and therefore the flesh isn't tome. We also have other pshat in Rabbi Yehuda that says the meat is considered a tuma kala, or is considered a sheni l'tuma, and the Gemara says that this Mishnah was chesure mechsura. The one that says, Bayi Bayoim, on the day that they removed Rabban Gamliel from the Nasius, and they made Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah the new Nasius, we learned the Gemara in Brachas, there was a policy at that point that anyone could come into the Beis Medrash. On that day, Darash Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva made the following drasha. V'chol kli cheres asher yipol mehem mitaycha. If a sheretz goes into the avir of a kli cheres, it becomes tame even without touching the kli cheres. This, of course, is a chumrah, because normally we know something to become tame, it has to be touched by it. The sheretz becomes an avatuma, is the avatuma, and the kli cheretz becomes a rishon l'tuma. And eichlin within the kli, even if it doesn't touch the kli at all, becomes a sheni l'tuma. And these eichlin can then make mashkin into a shlishi l'tuma. We then say dialova min adin liyos kenad. Something that we learn from a kal v'chomer can be as strong as the makar, in other words, the thing that you learn from the kal v'chomer, but not stronger than it. This is referring to transferring of tuma. We then say that the first yitma in the pasuk teaches us that food can make mashka tame. But of course, the food cannot be metama, a kli. It's interesting to note that liquid, Megabi, the halachas of tuma, is stronger than food, since liquid is instantly susceptible to tuma, whereas food becomes susceptible only after first coming into contact with liquid. We know that something which is food has to be mukhshar lekabel tuma via being touched by some sort of a mashke. One of the seven mashkos, yad, shachat, dam. We then say that a person who is tame has to do three things. Number one, he has to be taiva. Number two, he needs harav shemesh. And number three, for certain types of tuma, zav, mitzera, and yoledes, he also needs a karban, which is called kapara. You need number one, tefillah, in order to eat meiser. You need number two, harav shemesh, in order to eat truma. And you need number three, kapara, a karban, in order to eat kachim. The Gemara then says that chulin can only go as far as a sheni latuma. Rabbi Akiva holds chulin can go as far as a shlish latuma. However, everyone holds that truma can go as far as a shlish l'tuma, and kachim can go as far as ravi'i l'tuma. And all these different things I learned from different kal v'chomers, and there's a lot of them, and it's very complex. Daf Yud Tes. We say that if a sheretz touches some food, all other food in the keli becomes tamei also. And we say this regarding tuma, hakeli mitzaref koma shevaseicha. This halacha only applies by hektish, not by truma. There's a machlekes here. Where we say that this applies, Rav Chanan says this halacha is midaraisa, that it's mitzaref, because he learns this from the pasuk of kaf achas meleya keteris, and Rav Yochanan says it's only midarabanan. Here the Gemara brings a number of gzeras. First gzera the Gemara says is that yodayim shniyim hay. A person's hands are automatically considered a sheni l'tuma. The second halacha the Gemara brings is ein tumas yodayim b'mikdash. This halacha that we said before, that yodayim are considered shniyim, this does not apply in the Beis HaMikdash. And finally the Gemara brings one of the chumras of the Yud Ches Davar found in Masechta Shabbos. But Avol Minotaira Kalim can only be Mekabel Tumah from an Ava Tumah, not from a Mashka, which is, for example, a Rishon LaTumah. The Midah Rabbanan Kalim can be Mekabel Tumah from a Rishon if it is a Mashka. This is a Gzera Mishum Mashka Zava Zava. Since the Zava Zava is an Av, and liquid from them is also an Av, we said Lo Plug, that all liquids can be Metama a Keli, no matter what its status is. The Gemara then says there were certain Gzeras Safik Tumas that we said. However, in Yerushalayim, many of these Safik Tumas Gzeras were waived, so as not to waste a lot of potential kachin. We then bring down a case of two different ramps that were in Yerushalayim leading down to the mikveh, one going down and one going up. And we say, Kol ha-kelim ha-nimtzayim b'Yerushalayim derech yirida, lebeis ha-tfila, tmei, hadyama taharim. Kelim that were found on the ramp going down, those were considered tmeim, because they were probably on their way down to being dipped into the mikveh in order to be metahir them. But any other kelim were considered tahar. Bahalal Kharev, as we said before, Harehu Kikhal, something that is metallic that touches a mace, is considered just like the mace and is considered Navia Vaisatuma. We then say called Safik Tuma Bershus Harabim Tahar, we call Safik Tuma Bershus Hayachid Tame. This is learned from Saita. When we're at the Shas HaSafik regarding a Saita, we say that she's Asr to her husband, the Torah calls it Tuma. So we extend this to all Safik Tumas. Anytime there's a Safik Tuma, it's considered Tame. This only applies, however, that Safik Tuma is considered L'chumra in a Rishus Hayachid. Since the whole thing of Saita, the Maisa's Nus, only happens in a private place, so therefore the Safik Tuma applies only in a Rishus Hayachid. But in a Rishus Harabim, where this doesn't apply, we would go L'kula. So the Azar of the Beis HaMikdash, which is considered a Rishus Harabim, so many of the Safik Tumas related to Shechitas Kachim are considered L'kula, because it's considered a public place. Tafchaf. Sheretz HaNimtza B'Taner. Sheretz, which is found in an oven, ha'pasa shebeseichai shnia, is considered a sheni l'tuma, because the sheretz is an av, the taner is considered a rishon, and the pas is considered a sheni. We then say that a keli can only be mekabel tuma from an av, but never from a rishon. We then bring down that Rabbi Yeshua says that on Erev Pesach it's okay to burn tluya, which is suffik, together with tmea. Why? Because it's haylich l'ibur anyway. But that's only with a grama. Otherwise you're being metame b'yadayim, and you'd be mevatel is the union of Mishmeres. We then bring down an afkamina between cases of Hefsid Meruba and Hefsid Muat, talking about Shemin. We say Chavis Shel Yayin V'Shel Truma Shenitmas. Beis Shammai says Tishafek, you have to pour it out. But Beis Hillel says Tasa Ziluf, you should make wine spray for the house. And finally we say Kizayis Truma Shenotha L'Seich Mea Chulin Mutar L'Cholba. If a Kizayis of Truma falls into 100 Kizayisim of Chulin, it is mutter to eat from it because it is considered batal b'meah. This marks the end of the first parak of Masechta Pesachim. And on this point, we will conclude our share.